Morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15. Let's read verses 1 through 20. Hear the Word of God. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "And why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men.' And he called to himself the multitude and said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' And Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man.'" Let us pray together. We ask, Father, as we study this passage this morning, that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us so plainly, and that Matthew heard and recorded for us, we ask that you would help us to believe that these are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that this is the very word of God, that we have been given it down through the ages, that our Lord actually said these things to us, and that we can depend upon them and build our lives upon these words to guide us in how to live. We ask this morning, as we look into these scriptures, these words of Jesus, that you would teach us what he said and what it means to us this morning, that we would be able to go forth from this place with some better understanding of what it means to live for him and how better to live for him. We ask that you would help us to understand ourselves this morning from this scripture. Why we do the things we do. Why we say the things we say. That we may find in our Lord Jesus Christ our help and our hope in the things that come out of our mouths and our hearts. Hear our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time we began a study of this passage and really studied the first 9 verses. And we saw that the scribes and Pharisees found a way to step aside and to step over the very commandment of God to honor their father and mother, which they were given. And if you were here last week, you remember that they found a way to take money that they had dedicated to take care of their parents in old age and say of this money, it is korban, it is given to God, and therefore it's okay not to use the money to take care of my parents. And then after their parents died, they raised the ban, the korban, off of that money and then used it for themselves like they wanted to do all along. So Jesus said, you're concerned about my disciples washing their hands before they eat, which is not a requirement, yet you invalidate God's word, not tradition, God's word, by your own traditions. And he said, this is not true worship. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so we find that true worship is not what you say, but it's what is in your heart. It is a life of loving submission to God in all of life and seeking to bring his commandments into all of life. To live as he wants you to live. The very great commission that we hear our Lord saying before he ascended into heaven was this: go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I commanded you. And so what our Lord wanted out of his disciples was a love for him and a keeping of his commandments. The Pharisees did not do that, and therefore their worship was false. True worship is a heart matter that honors God in all of life, not just on Sunday morning with the saints. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach these Pharisees. But then he said, on the other hand, words do matter. He condemned them for their false words. But then he went to the real heart of the matter in verse 11. Not what enters the mouth defiles the man, whether you eat food with unwashed hands or not. But what proceeds out of the mouth, that defiles the man. The clearest visible manifestation of what is in our heart, what is truly in our heart, is what comes out of our mouths on our tongues. What we talk about, how we talk about it, what we say, how we use our tongues. It reveals what is in the heart. Jesus said, out of the heart the man speaks. What is in our heart comes out of our mouths. If God has changed our heart, it will be revealed in our speech. But if our speech does not show a changed heart, then we know our condition. The tongue is like a bridle in a horse's mouth, James said. It is like the rudder on a great ship. It's very small, but it controls a great beast or a great vessel. And that's what our tongue is like. The truth is, according to verse 18, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. According to Jesus Christ, we always mean what we say. We always mean what we say. Think about it a minute. We always mean what we say, because each spoken word is an exercise of the will. And that exercise of the will is always informed by how we think and how we feel, which is our heart. So out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's how you come to be honest with yourself. with your own spiritual condition by examining what comes out of your mouth. And by not making excuses for it, like, I didn't really mean that. Or I shouldn't have said it that way. I didn't mean it that way. That's not true. Because Jesus said it's not true. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of the heart come evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slander, murder. These are the violation of the Ten Commandments Jesus is teaching here. Out of the heart, the commandments are broken, and then it comes out of the mouth. So if you wish to control your life in a way that brings honor to God, you have to look at your mouth and then deal with your heart. When the new birth comes and we are made new creatures in Christ, the law of God is written on our hearts. That's why God said, I will write my laws upon their heart, and upon their minds I will write them, and I will remember their sins no more. He forgives us of our sins in the gospel, but he also writes his laws upon our heart. And that's revealed in how we talk to God and about God, loving God with all of our heart. And how we talk to men and about men, loving our neighbor as ourselves. So how we talk and how we use our tongues reveals very much about our spiritual condition. And it is a place that the Christian has to work at to work out his salvation. That is, to grow in grace and to take on the righteousness of Christ. Our tongues are an instrument of life and death. Now, there are three things that I want to talk about the use of the tongue this morning in this passage. And the first one is that the use of the tongue reveals the condition of the heart. We've already talked about that some, but it does. Secondly, the use of the tongue will be a basis by God for judgment. It will be a basis by God for judgment. And thirdly, the Christian use of the tongue will be an instrument for the glory of God. So first of all, let's look at the use of the tongue as it reveals the condition of the heart. We've already seen this in verse 11 of Matthew 15. In verses 18 through 20, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. The Pharisees' outward life was really impeccable. You could not look at the Pharisees and find very much wrong with their life. They used all the right words in worship in verse 8. These people honor me with their lips. They knew what to say to sound religious and to sound Christian, even in the worship times. But they did not honor God's word in their hearts. And they were willing to put aside God's commandment to follow their own will and their own tradition in their lives, even at the cost of their parents' comfort. So when they invented the Korban as a way to escape responsibility for obeying the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, they revealed what was really in their hearts by their words. They invented words to escape responsibility for their actions because they did not want the responsibility in their heart. In their minds, as long as they did not commit murder outwardly, they had not committed murder at all. They were righteous. But in Matthew 5:17, our Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit murder. And anyone that commits murder shall be guilty before the court. But I say to you that if anyone is angry with his brother, he is guilty before the court. And if anyone should say, Raca, or thou fool, thou art guilty enough to go to the Supreme Court. See, Jesus said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder means hatred in the heart. And when it comes out on the tongue, it isn't just the use of the tongue that's the sin. It's the evil thought that's in the heart to begin with. That's the sin. But our tongue reveals what our heart feels. If you're angry with your brother, Jesus said, you've committed murder already. If you use derogatory words with your tongue, you fool, or raca, which was probably some kind of racial slur against the Gentiles in that day. You empty head, stupid, you idiot, you've committed murder. That's what Jesus is talking about. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Thomas Manton said, most of man's sins are in his tongue. And that's really true. That's really true. And our Lord taught that as well. In Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, our Lord lists the kinds of sins he's talking about. And I want you to notice how he brings that list in verse 19. Before he talks about murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slanders, and goes right down the Ten Commandments, he says evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. He begins with evil thoughts because all of those actual sins begin with a sinful attitude. How do you speak to others? What words do you choose? What tone of voice do you use? How do you speak about others? How do you speak about God to others in the way He has governed your life? How do you speak to God in prayer? How do you speak to your family, church members, the gas station attendant, the waitress at the restaurant, the grocery store attendant, the stock boy, the policeman, your enemy? How do you speak to those people? All these things reveal what's in your heart. Our Lord said, the words which thou gavest me, Father, I have given to them. Jesus had the Word of God in his heart. And so when he spoke according to the Word of God. He loved God with all his heart. He loved his neighbor as himself. And he loved his disciples unto death. And every time he spoke, every word that came from his lips was through the filter of love to God, love to his neighbor, and love to his disciples. He never spoke a word that can be interpreted as murderous and sinfully angry, attacking another person to hurt them with your tongue. He never spoke a word that could be interpreted as a sensuous type word to entice another. He never used his tongue to have filthy talk or cursing upon another person because he knew that when you bring God's curse down upon another person, you are wishing that they would endure an eternal hell. And if you escape by the grace of God, how dare you think that you would wish another person to go there? He never used his tongue to grumble and complain against his father's will, though he did not own his own house. He had nowhere to lay his head. He lost all his friends, and his family rejected him. He did not bear false witness, nor tell lies, nor be deceitful in any way to protect himself or to get others to like him better. Our Lord Jesus Christ never used his tongue for anything other than for God and man. And he said to his Father, "The words which thou gavest me in my heart, I have given to them." The use of the tongue always reveals the condition of the heart. If we could get that in our heads, we could deal with our own hearts a lot better. Because we would be able to see that our tongues are a reflection like a mirror of what our internal soul is really like. And when we say, "I hate God," it's because we hate Him. And when we say, "I hate that person," it's because we hate them and are embittered against them. The second principle of this passage teaches that the use of the tongue will be the basis for God's judgment of every man's heart. In Matthew 12, our Lord said in verse 32, "And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." According to verse 36 of this chapter that we just read, God keeps account of every word that we speak. Now think about that just for a minute. God has an infallible, infinite memory. Every event that has ever happened since the first day God created the earth has been recorded perfectly in His memory. Every word that has been said by every individual from birth to death on the face of the earth is in the memory and hearing of God. And on the last day, when all men stand before Him, one of the instruments of judgment will be how they spoke and what they said and how they used their tongue. Verse 36 says, "God keeps account, and men shall render account for their words, their useless words, their vain words, their idle words on the day of judgment." J. Wilbur Chapman was a preacher in the first part of this century, and he wrote Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners. And he said, when he was preaching on this idea, that an old black spiritual said this, "The Lord is always writing, writing. The Lord is writing all the time." That was an old spiritual. Based upon this text that God knows and keeps account of every word that we speak, every word that we've ever spoken, In Romans chapter 2, it says that our conscience bears witness, accusing our hearts before God. On the day when, according to my gospel, Paul said, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. On the last day, the Ten Commandments will take the witness stand against men who do not believe in Christ. Their conscience will take the stand and condemn them, and their words will take the stand and condemn them, because God will hold them to account for every word that they've spoken. That humbles me, because in the days before I became a Christian, I do not know of a word that I've ever heard in the English language that did not pass my lips. I don't know of any word of hatred and anger and murder that did not pass my lips. And if it were not for the grace of God, and God should judge me just for my words, much less my actions, He would be perfectly just to send me a place where there is nothing but darkness and gnashing of teeth. This is not work salvation, that you have to say every word perfectly in order for God to save you from your sins. But what this is saying that the person who believes in Jesus Christ and who loves Him for dying for their sins will speak differently, because they will have a different heart. J. Sidlow Baxter said one of the first things that happens when a man is really filled with the Spirit is not that he speaks with tongues, but that he learns to hold the tongue he already has. James says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his own tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. The use of the tongue will be the basis for God's judgment of the heart. Love to God, love to man, and the new birth is revealed how we use our tongues on a daily basis. You may be thinking there, can there be any hope for me then? Here I have I taught my way out of heaven already? Even as a Christian, my tongue seems to have a life of its own at times. And things come out of my heart and out of my tongue which I find hard to believe is really there. Is there any hope for me? Well, this brings me to the third point. There is some good news. The Christian's tongue will be redeemed for the glory of God. If you are sitting here this morning and you have realized that your tongue has been used to murder, kill and maim others, to slander their reputation, to attack their person, to demean their character, to curse them, there is some good news. Paul said, formerly I was a blasphemer, yet I was shown mercy. I want you to think back this morning. All of the careless words that you've spoken, the hateful words, the cutting words where you meant to hurt someone, the slanderous words where you did not know for a fact what this other person did, but you spread their reputation and slandered it around as if you knew firsthand what they had done. All those unbelieving words, I just don't believe God cares for me. If God loves me, He wouldn't have allowed this to happen to me. All those rebellious words, I will not do this. I simply will not. All those words that could have brought healing and love and kindness into the life of another person, but you just did not want to speak them because you were irritated with them and you were angry with them. All of those filthy, demeaning words about the opposite sex that came out of your mouth. That filthy talk and that coarse jesting and off-color humor, which took something that was made to be beautiful in the image of God and admired as something that is wonderful. And by your words, you destroyed it and turned it into something that was selfish and derogatory and demeaning. All of those words, your whole life. Think back. Dare you think back? Those words to your husband that hurt him. To your wife that cut her to ribbons and made her feel as if you had no care for her soul. Those words which you took like a hammer and pounded upon the conscience and the mind of your child with words like stupid and idiot and fool. You're so incompetent. You're so ignorant. Those words against your parents when you told them that you hated them and wished that they were dead. Even those words against those who hate God, where you felt justified to curse them because they were guilty before God like you once were. Think about that terrible debt of transgressions that can never be atoned for by your actions or by kind words to anyone. Look back. And then look back on the pages of the New Testament and see the perfect life of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteous use of the tongue towards sinful men was made up of words of grace. That's what they said. His enemies listened to him talk and they said, "Where did these words of grace come from?" Who never sinned in his words, even against the Pharisees when he called them hypocrites. Who did not lash out at his disciples because they were so ignorant and stupid and they failed so much to do what he said. Who was always kind and gentle in his rebukes and who often spoke words of love to God and man. In Colossians 2, it says that when he died upon the cross, there was written upon the cross a list of our sins consisting of decrees against us. And when his blood was spilled upon the ground and his life left his body, God said, "It is finished." And that debt, that list of sins, was marked "paid in full." All of those words, those evil words that came from evil thoughts, paid in full. But do you know what greater blessing even than that, I think, comes? Philippians 3:9 says that when we come to Jesus Christ, God gives us His righteousness by faith. And God looks upon our life and the way we speak as if we speak with the lips of grace that Jesus had. He forgives us of our sins, and then He treats us as if we never said anything wrong in our lives, as if we had never murdered anyone with our tongue, as if we had never spoken that filthy talk that we did in our younger days, that we would go back 1,000 times and take back if we could, and grieve that such words ever passed our lips about creatures made in the image of God. His perfect tongue, His perfectly righteous tongue, the tongue of Jesus Christ, is credited to our account and we are forgiven. If you have used your tongue to hurt and to maim and to twist, you have but to repent of sin and believe that Jesus' precious blood was spilled upon the cross to cover even those sins. And you can stand before God with a cleansed heart and a cleansed tongue and start all over every day. You see, it is the love of Christ that makes us want to clean our tongues. It is appreciating in our hearts His death for us that makes us want to speak kindly to Him and to others. In Ephesians chapter 5, where we looked at earlier, there's some instructions about the tongue. And he says in chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." Our tongues were made to give grace, not hatred, not violence, not demeaning words. They were meant to speak of forgiveness and kindness and tenderness and compassion. In chapter 5, verse 3, he said, "But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks." This is not a prohibition of humor in every case, but it is certainly a prohibition of filthy talk, of coarse jesting, of sinful humor that demeans other people. We're to use our lips as if they were touched by the grace of God, where kindness is upon our tongue, forgiveness is quick to the tongue, and we become slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, Jesus said, and those defile the man. But the gospel of Christ has come to help people like us who have used our tongues to hurt others, to use them in another way. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through Him let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." We're to use our tongues to worship God and to love God and to love men. And you can't say, "Well, that's just the way I am," or "That's just the way I've always been," or I really didn't mean it. We come by faith to the cross of Christ each day. And one of the first places that we sanctify ourselves is with the use of our tongues. And if you say, well, I don't know what to say, then go to the Scriptures and learn what to say. If you say, I can't change, go look fully into the face of Jesus Christ crucified and tell Him you can't change. But learn to speak gracious words because you love Him. And if people make fun of you or criticize you because you'll not join into the cutting, slanderous, filthy talk that's around you, then look at the one who was crucified on the cross for you, that you may go to heaven and see how far you may have to suffer some for Him. Flee to Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the tongue. And He has enough mercy in His heart to sinners to make them want to speak differently. And if you're a Christian trying to deal with your tongue daily, here's how to deal with it. Look to Jesus. Look to the cross. Remember the gospel. Remember God's grace. Remember the kindness of God. Remember the cost of saying those cruel things. And do not yield your tongue to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness, but to God as those alive from the dead, and your members, even your tongue, as an instrument of righteousness. This whole thing boils down to faith in Christ. Learning how to govern our speech because we love Him in our hearts. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Come to Jesus Christ and He will help you. Let us pray.